Reading this morning is taken from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, on page 253 of the New Testament. Chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. You have been raised to life with Christ, so set your hearts on the things that are in heaven, where Christ sits on his throne at the right-hand side of God. Keep your minds fixed on things there, not on things here on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your real life is Christ, and when he appears, then you too will appear with him and share his glory. You must put to death then the earthly desires at work in you, such as sexual immorality, indecency, lust, evil passions, and greed, for greed is a form of idolatry. Because of such things, God's anger will come upon those who do not obey him. At one time, you yourselves used to live according to such desires, when your life was dominated by them. But now you must get rid of all these things: anger, passion, and hateful feelings. No insults or obscene talk must ever come from your lips. Do not lie to one another, for you have taken off the old self with habits and have put on the new self. This is the new being which God, its creator, is constantly renewing in his own image in order to bring you to a full knowledge of himself. As a result, there is no longer any distinction between Gentiles and Jews, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarians, savages, slaves and free, but Christ is all, Christ is in all. Here ends the lesson. Amen.
I'm just going to do the rest of the moving around that didn't get done, otherwise it'll have to be done later. Excuse me. Brilliant. Sorted. Let's pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There's an American writer and speaker called Max Lucado, who tells a story about a man called Bob, who was born into the land of coats. His mother loved the colour blue and made Bob's first coat a lovely shade of blue. Every time she noticed her son in this lovely shade of blue, she cheered, "Yes, Bob!" He felt good in this blue coat. But Bob had to grow up and go to work. So he put on his best blue coat and slipped out of the house, going to his new job. The people on the street saw him and began to yell, "Yuck! Yuck!" Their coats were yellow. They hated blue. Into a clothes store dived Bob and bought a yellow coat, put it over his blue coat, and continued on his way to work. The people cheered, "Yes, Bob!" Bob felt good in his yellow coat over his blue coat. He stepped into the boss's office to get his assignment for the first day. He sat waiting for his boss, who came in, looked at him, and yelled, "Yuck!" Bob jumped up, took off the yellow coat, and stood waiting for the approval of his blue coat. The Bob yelled, "Double yuck!" Here at work, we wear green coats. With that, Bob slipped back on the yellow coat over his blue coat and put the green coat on top. "Yes, Bob," said the boss. As he left for work, Bob felt good. After work, Bob slipped off the green coat, put it over the yellow coat, and walked proudly home. He opened the door, went inside, as his mother looked at him with a yuck on her lips. Bob quickly changed coats, putting the lovely blue one on top. Mum whispered, "Yes, Bob." Bob got so good at changing coats until he became a popular man all around the town. He changed coats so quickly that he had people fooled into believing that whatever coat they had on, he had it on too. Bob loved hearing the crowd say, "Yes, Bob!" He couldn't bear hearing a yuck. Bob was elected mayor of the town of Coates and had a faithful constituency. One day he heard a noise outside his window and then heard a pounding on his door. The yellow coats brought in a man wearing no coat. "Kill him," they cried. "He doesn't fit in." In his yellow coat, Bob said, "Leave him to me." "Man, where is your coat?" he asked. The man said, "I wear no coat." Bob replied, "Everybody wears a coat. What colour do you choose?" The man responded the second time, "I wear no coat." But then the green coats had gathered under Bob's window. Running to the window, his green coat on top, Bob yelled down to them, "I have it under control." The green coats shouted, "Kill him!" At this moment, his mother entered the room. Bob slipped his blue coat on top. "Bob, where is his blue coat?" mother asked. The man replied, "I don't wear a coat." "Kill him," said mother, as she left Bob and the man alone. "Man," said Bob, "you have to wear a coat or they're going to kill you." Bob said to the man, "You need," Bob said the man, "you need to decide to stop wearing your different coats. Take them off. Take them all off. And let the world see who you truly are. Take them off. Take them all off," asked an incredulous Bob. The man said again, "Bob, you have to make a choice." As the crowd kept crying, "Kill him!" Bob washed his hands, opened the door, and marched the man toward sure death. The man turned and looked at Bob with one final word, "Choose." Bob was left alone with his three coats and the questions ringing in his ears. Take them off? Take them all off? The Apostle Paul was writing a letter to the Colossians. These people of God were wrestling with theological questions and philosophical debates about the centrality of Jesus Christ. Is he a wonderful human teacher, divine Son of God, or some combination of the two? False teachings trying to combine human intellect with Greek wisdom and parts of Judaism and parts of the Christian faith had the Christian church embroiled in argument. So Paul writes to deal with the issue of divinity and the death and resurrection of Jesus, and explains how the world's teachings are empty when compared with God's plan for us in Jesus Christ. Then he moves on to describing how Christians ought to think and behave because of our relationship with God. Now listen to Eugene Peterson's translation of the message of the passage we just had read. "Sisters and brothers, if you are serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides, eyes to the ground, absorbed with things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around you. What is going on around Christ? That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Our old life is dead. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. Christ is your real life. When Christ shows up again on this earth, you'll show up too. The real you. The glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity like Christ. That means killing off everything connected with the way of death, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like whenever you feel like it, and grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. It's because of this kind of thing that God is about to explode into anger. It wasn't long ago that you were doing all that stuff and not knowing any better. But you know better now. So make sure it's all gone for good. Bad temper, irritability, meanness, profanity, and dirty talk. Don't lie to one another. You are done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put on the fire. You're now dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator. It has a designer label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. Words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious and irreligious, inside and outsider, civilized and uncouth, slave and free, mean nothing. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is included in Christ. So dressed by God for this new life of love, put on the wardrobe God picked out for you. This is the word of the Lord. I hear the people ask, take it off. Take it all off. And Paul responds, take off the old and put on the new. Joseph, that's what baptism is all about today. It's about taking off the politically correct, the socially right, and the morally expedient coats, and standing naked before Christ in order to be filled with the appropriate clothing of a follower of Christ. It's time to stop selecting from all the world's popular options and to stand up for Jesus. This passage says that deceiving ourselves and trying to fool others is not sufficient for eternal life. Paul declares there are some things we can no longer do and still call ourselves Christ-like. We have to take off that quick anger, that filthy temper. We have to take off that meanness that allows us to rage with a hand gesture when somebody cuts us up on the road. We have to take off that bad language that just slips out. We have to take off telling those stories which make fun of God's people who don't look like us. We have to take off lying, which we claim everyone does. All of these things become outdated, outmoded wardrobe of before Christ. When Christ is welcomed into a life, there is a difference. When Christ comes, there is newness. When Christ comes, we change. We can stand naked before the one who knows us ultimately and loves us just the same. I wonder what color coat you are wearing this morning. Most of us, if you're like me, keep changing our coats, which are dependent upon where we are and what's happening. Many of us came to worship this morning and had on our socially acceptable coat. All our friends in the row smiled and said, yes. But if you wear that church coat to dinner or to work or to keep it on at home, what would people say then? We can't stand to see people's faces when it says yuck. This day of baptism is a reminder to all of us that Jesus stands with one word for all of us today. Choose. Choose. Choose by making the decision for him today. No more coat changing for me. I choose to stand naked before Christ and to allow him to dress me with his wardrobe of love. All that I have comes from God. While I was yet lost in my sins, wearing all the coats of the past, trying to cover myself. God loved me so much that he sent Jesus to die for my sins and to rise that I might have life everlasting. How could you or I dare to continue slipping off one coat into another coat while every coat I have belongs to God? The call is clear. No more blue politically correct coats, yuck. No more yellow socially acceptable coats, yuck. No more green morally expedient coats, double yuck. When we give our lives to Jesus, we stand naked, knowing that we are loved and accepted. We recognize that Jesus, our Savior, came and stood naked before all the world. He lived a transparent life and allowed the disciples to see him at his best and at his worst. He allowed himself to be vulnerable and let the world watch him die the death of a criminal. He rose clothed in majesty and victory. He rose with a new wardrobe in his hands. He rose to dress us with right living, compassion, power to live in victory over the power of all that's evil. Today, Joseph, you made the decision to follow Jesus. You've taken it off, taken it all off, and want to be dressed by the one who has a divine design on your life. And today we're all invited to choose. The first word we need to say is Jesus, and the last word we need to say is Jesus. He is the center of everything. Of our lives, our work, our mission, our communities. The center around which everything else must orbit, endlessly pulled by the gravity of his love. We know that Jesus' love cannot but love each and every person we meet with love that flows from his. We do not say that he calls us to love others. It is an inevitable as a stone falling. Gravity does not call a stone. But falling is easy. Living a life of love is hard. We need to decide to stop wearing our different coats. Take them off. Take them all off and let the world see who you truly are. And dressed by God for his new life of love, put on the wardrobe that God has picked out for you. Whatever else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never, never be without it. Amen. We're going to pray together and then we're going to have a moment of quiet. Lord Jesus, keep us close and help us. Hold us when our grip is failing. Jesus, be the last word for all our lives. The last word we want to say. The last word we need to say. There's a hymn that we sometimes sing that I always find difficult to sing because the words stick in my throat. And you'll understand now why when I read them. All for Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Saviour. I surrender all. In the name of the one who knows me best and loves me just the same. Amen.